Support for this episode comes from T-Mobile. Experience the Home Run Derby like never before with the first-of-its-kind MLB AR app brought to you by T-Mobile, the leader in 5G. T-Mobile and MLB partnered up to create an all-new augmented reality experience that brings advanced stats, 3D ball tracking, and more right into your living room. Download the MLB AR app for your Apple or Android devices today. Fastest according to OpenSignal Awards based on average speeds in USA 5G experience report April 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Queens Amazing Head News Minor League Podcast. I'm Steve Saipa, and I'm joined again tonight by Lucas Vlahos, Ken Levin, and Thomas Henderson. The whole minor league crew is here. We're on DEFCON 5. It's night two of the 2021 MLB draft. Rounds 2 through 10 are done, and we're digesting right now. A lot happened today.
Currently pouring one out for Shohei Ohtani, losing in the first round of the Derby. Sag.
It was fun, though.
Well, suffice to say, I don't think anyone that the Mets selected today are going to end up in the Home Run Derby.
No.
Maybe the batting practice pitchers, but that's maybe the best.
Yeah.
They might have, yeah. Alright, so... to recap, Monday night, Kumar Rocker fell to the Mets. Pretty unexpected development. Pretty exciting development.
Yes.
We all rejoiced, but not that much. So, obviously Rocker is a very premium talent who's going to get premium type money. The Mets slot value for the first round pick was $4.74 million. And we know that at a minimum, Rocker is going to cost, $6 million minimum.
We already know what he costs.
Yeah.
It's ever.
Joel Sherman tweeted it. It's $6
million. Yep.
So in other words, our prediction was almost spot on last night.
Yep.
Well, didn't take a brain surgeon, I guess.
It is nice that they already figured this out the next day, and they didn't let this linger. But
didn't it take like forever for the Allen number to come out?
Yeah, that was
annoying.
It was kind of like you could squint and be like, "Are they actually going to mess this up and not sign him?" But like this was literally like 12 hours later, they had a number, and Sherman was writing about how they already have an agreement in place or whatever, so they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But $6 million is about right.
So in order to get that value, to get that money, they need to, trim a little bit here and there. So as we were kind of guessing last night, the Mets are going to employ a similar strategy that they have in the last two drafts by going big at the top and then not going big at all with everything else. And that more or less is what happened today. In rounds 2 through 10.
So, it's a little more interesting, I would have thought, because of their typical guys that they would draft. And, their typical safe guys or college guys or whatever.
Yes, I think that we were kind of discussing in the group chat as the day was going on that even though these guys are not necessarily world beaters, and they're not, it's basically, senior after senior after senior, a couple of juniors thrown in there, but these guys, you can see a plan in that there are features that a lot of these guys all share. So you could say to yourself, okay, the Mets were looking for something. They were targeting certain attributes. And, you generally like to see, a plan rather than, let's just get this guy. Let's just get this guy.
Steve, are you saying that the Mets, they had a plan?
And they like their plan.
They like their plan.
I think that is a possibility. I'm not going to say for certain.
Lobby the Mets to have a plan, IMO.
All right, so let's just jump right in here and take a look at who the Mets got. And with their second round pick, the 46th selection overall, they took Calvin Ziegler, a right-handed high school pitcher out of technically St. Mary's Catholic High School, but in reality, he went to the TXTN Academy in Florida.
Such a the next level academy. I hate it so much. I hate all these stupid prep school names.
I can't wait for the Elevate Academy to come out.
Oh my god.
To that song that's been on SNY, You Gotta Elevate.
They're gonna hire Donnie,
Donnie Stevenson is he's the athletic director.
At the Elevate Baseball Academy.
So Ziegler was the only high school, pick that the Mets made here in the entire day. Like I said, he is originally, he's Canadian. Obviously, COVID affected all these athletes because there was no season last year. But I would say that it especially affected Ziegler because, they shut the border down and everything. So the guy literally had to move to Florida in order to kind of keep scouts' eyes on him because no one was crossing the border into Canada. But it's a good profile he has. Fastball, it sits in the low mid 90s. He could top it. He could touch, 96, 97. There's a breaking ball. Sometimes it gets kind of slurvy. He says that it's a slider. Excuse me. He says it's a curveball. Sometimes it kind of gets slurvy, slidery. So key to his future development will be to kind of develop that more, make it either a true curveball or a true slider. And then he also throws a changeup that has some promise, but obviously as a high school player, he doesn't really need it much. All in all, it's a good profile to have. He has a good profile, good frame. He's like 6 foot, 200 pounds. Probably not that much more room for growth, but he's durable already. He holds the velocity into games already. He doesn't fall apart, so it's a good pick.
I think it's interesting.
Baseball America had him as a sleeper, because of his, having to move from Canada to Florida and do all the stuff that he did and probably flew under some radars. But I think it's one of those things that we've talked about COVID affecting people, like prospects, and I think this is one of those instances.
I also think this is an argument for where you can find hidden value. There's such a complex around scouting these guys now, and then every team's obviously doing a lot of work, but it's going to be real hard to find differential value scouting a dude that everyone else is looking at. But if you find someone like this who maybe has had, everyone has fewer looks, that suggests to me that they might have particularly strong feelings on a guy that maybe other teams are missing. So I like the strategy.
And I think we'll see with the rest, because spoiler alert, it's a lot of pitchers. There's a clear type that they're looking at now, and I think it's different than what it used to be. So I think we'll see that within the next even two picks that we're discussing. But yeah, it's interesting for sure.
All right, next player they selected, spoiler, it is a pitcher. And in the third round, the 81st selection overall, the Mets selected Dominic Hamill, a right-handed pitcher out of Dallas Baptist University. And we're starting to say, once we start discussing a few of these guys, you'll start to see the emerging pattern, but Hamels is solid, you know, solid fastball, 91 to 94. He throws a bunch of, you know, he basically throws the kitchen sink. He also throws a slider. He throws a curveball. He throws a changeup. Sometimes his fastball, you know, could get sinkerish movement to it. But one thing that these pitchers have in common are that, you know, there are high spin rates with the fastball, with the slider, with the curveball. And that's something that we'll discuss as we continue moving on with these picks here. But
Hamill especially, he's like a statistical darling, like that people were talking about on Twitter a lot and stuff. So that's the type of guy that the Mets wouldn't have even known about like 5-6 years ago, you know? And sure, like, you know, this is a crapshoot, but I'd rather take a chance on that because that's how you get the next Seth Lugo or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Because that's how those guys pop, and those guys are usable, cheap arms when they have this in their back pocket as
okay. So I don't remember Lugo coming up as a prospect much. I don't think I was paying as much attention back then. And I also don't know that even the data was around at that point.
Yeah, I don't even think so. I think Lugo, he would have been a bigger prospect now.
Yeah, I mean, Lugo was a...
He came up who everybody was talking about his spin rate. It was when it was like a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's mostly a curveball spin rate dude, right? Like, his fastball is good, but he's like a big deal because his curveball gets absurd spin. Hamill has a really nice fastball spin and a more questionable breaker from what I've read. So... Just slightly different shaped, but
still, like, it's the idea.
No, it's same idea, absolutely. I mean, he's got the sexy rising fastball that, that's what you want these days.
Alright, so now with their fourth pick, the 111th player selected overall, the Mets, changed things up a little bit. And they selected JT Schwartz, a first baseman, out of UCLA. How do I say it without being too mean?
I don't get this one.
He's a first baseman that hits for average. I guess that's the nicest way of saying it.
Yeah, it's like a middle infield profile at first, and...
Would you call him Satnesque?
Jeremy Vasquez, basically.
Yeah, that's a good comp.
And we were talking before we came on, it's not a, oh, he just needs to change his swing plane and he might have more power. No, his entire approach is geared to inside outing, making contact, etc. And I don't think it's clear that if you change that drastically, the bat to ball remains, right? It's not I don't know that it's a very natural bat to ball as opposed to an engineered one. And you add in the limited positional flexibility, the injury issues. I don't get this. Like, they needed to save money somewhere, but you could get a better senior sign than this, I think. Like, you get a profile that actually, like, get a dominant second division reliever or something. Like,
isn't he a junior?
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying they're probably better seniors to draft than a dude with this profile.
Gotcha. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I don't get it.
He does have, like, I don't want to just completely, like, throw everything out on him. Like, he does have an extremely good eye at the plate, and he does have a good approach at the plate. It's just, like, I'm talking about approach, like, swinging at strikes and not balls and all that stuff. Like, that's what I mean. But, like, maybe you could, if you try to gear him more, like we were saying, more towards power than, like, hit tool, then he becomes, like, a power-walk combination guy, but that's a stretch to make that entire thing happen. That's, maybe you do it, but I don't know how you get there with, like, at a huge, massive swing change. But maybe they do that. Maybe that's the whole plan. You know?
It seems like the offensive upside, even in an optimistic outlook, is utility piece.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder if he could play other positions too.
Right, like
in like the summer leagues and stuff, but as a professional, probably not.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna draft a dude with that limited offensive upside, they've got to be able to at least like stand at second or third or in the corners or something. Yeah, I don't get this one.
It just seems like we're saying that, you know, they have this, what's the right word? They have this strategy. They were looking for specific things, and they could have found another dude that fits the criteria that they needed pitching-wise. But...
No, I'll give them a moment of cover here. It seems like they were probably planning on actually going underslot with their first-round pick, so maybe they're kind of pivoting here and don't have a great list of senior guys lined up or underslot guys lined up, so they're scrambling a bit, but still.
Where's Jake Mangum when you need him?
Manghamton.
Very true, very true.
True.
Soon to be Queens. Alright, so now with the fifth overall fifth round selection, 142nd pick overall, the Mets selected Christian Scott, a right-handed pitcher from the University of Florida. He's an interesting guy. He's a big guy, 6'4". And he's mainly a fastball slider guy. The fastball is, you know, mid-90s, could touch 97, 98. Gets plenty of movement. And then slider, it's a very sharp slider, you know, mid-80s. And then he also kind of throws a curve and a changeup, but not much. You know, just kind of in his back pocket if he ever needs it. So he's mainly a fastball slider guy. That screams out, reliever.
I mean, he was a reliever in college. It's not even like, it's like, we're not even kidding ourselves making him a starter. Like, the Mets drafted a reliever here. And that's fine. It's just, I'm not gonna get excited about it. You know?
I also don't think he's a particularly exciting reliever.
Yeah, it's fastball slider, and it was like, accurate. He only walked 8 people this year. But like, okay.
He didn't really strike out that many, and he's already pitching out of the pen.
Right. Yeah. And it's not great velocity, it's not great movement on the fastball. Again, there's a caveat we should say here. Like, I'm pretty confident in our criticism of the Schwartz pick because that's mostly based on profile, but like, the caveat we should include about there's limited information on all these pitchers, we know less than what actual scouts have seen, the public side of scouting knows less than what actual teams have seen, but I'm not particularly enthused with this pick either.
It is what it, you know, like we knew getting to this thing what we were going to be getting, and you know, he's just a guy that's basically part of the course, you know.
The same point applies though, like it still feels you should be able to find better underslot guys, especially when you're taking them in the fourth and fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, all of the players that the Mets selected, all those seniors that the Mets selected, you know, 2 years ago when they got Allen, you have Mangum and, you know, that's really it. Last year when they did the same strategy, they got Walters, Dyer, and Orr's, you know, in that back half, and really, I don't think any of them are going to amount to much, so it just...
Yeah. I'm trying to look up how old he is. He is 22. So realistically, if he does pop, he could be a major league contributor rather soon and just throw some major league innings, and that's not the worst thing in the world in the fifth round when you're having to spend well over slot on a starred possible player that dropped to you, you know? Like, I wonder if it's one of those things where they think he could just kind of be a solid player, and it's not so much about ceiling here, and it's more about just an extra usable arm in the upper minors and the as a shuttle guy in the upper minors in the majors, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
And like, fastball slider isn't sexy and it's not particularly amazing, but also that could work, and it does. Like, he could come up and have a good slider and be a usable guy, and then you move him back down and bring him back up and stuff like that, and it's worth it. Especially where they're picking and what the rest of their draft look like.
Get ready for stats on your baseball stats with the first-of-its-kind MLB AR app brought to you by T-Mobile. Get in-the-moment data on every single hit, launch angle, exit velocity, hang time, and you can even bring a 3D model of Coors Field right into your living room, complete with real-time ball tracers. Download the MLB AR app today for your Apple or Android device. T-Mobile account with 5G device required for some features. MLB marks used with permission.
This is advertiser content from Facebook.
Hi, I'm Taylor. I work at Vox Media, and I found my dream couch from Maiden Home thanks to a personalized ad on Instagram. So summer of 2019, I moved from LA to New York, super excited to start my New York dreams. And then the following spring, COVID hit and everything went downhill. And so I returned to my family home thinking that it would be for 2 weeks, and it turned into months. I just so desperately want to get back to having an adult life, having my adult life. So I was scrolling through Instagram looking for inspiration for the perfect pieces for my dream New York apartment, and then I came across an ad for a Maiden Home. I saw a sofa that I really liked, so I clicked on the ad to learn more, and I really appreciated that it came from a small business that focused on local artisans in North Carolina. Searching for and finding pieces like this has really made me so excited to get back to New York. So I'm really glad I came across this ad on Instagram, and I can already imagine myself on this couch in my new apartment.
Good ideas deserve to be found. Personalized ads help you find them. Discover the next good idea and support small businesses on Facebook and Instagram. Visit facebook.com/supportsmallbusiness to learn more.
All right, so now with the sixth round pick, the 172nd player overall, Mets selected Carson Seymour, a right-handed pitcher, a senior out of Kansas State University.
We are back to the spin rate, boys.
Yep. Again, we have a guy who throws hard, you know, mid-90s fastball. When he rears back, it could hit the upper 90s and triple digits, and really spinny slider.
Note to self, band name, Spin Rate Boys.
I mean, look, if you throw 99 and throw like an upper 80 slider, that's going to be tough no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like just on the pure velocity switch alone. And that's always fun. I don't really see that being a starter, but again, you could start him that way, and then if it doesn't work out, then there's a reliever floor. And I think throwing that hard and having a breaking pitch like that, you could do some damage in the back end of a bullpen. But I would definitely let him start in the beginning and see how it develops from there.
I mean, look at the Brooklyn Cyclones. They're literally the only two pitchers on the entire team that are interesting to watch for no other reason that they could throw really hard are Michael Ohtañez and Bryce Montes de Oca.
Oh, no.
No, yeah. I mean,
and it's just like, oh, cool, they could throw really hard. Like, well, that's interesting at least.
See, I at least see the, like, you could squint and imagine a plus value reliever here, though, as opposed to previous guy who.
He's right? Also interesting because he was bad last year. Like, he had a 6 ERA. It's not like he dominated his competition, but that's where the data-driven drafting could help, because normally you would scout that and be like, well, he got lit up. But
right.
Also, you could be like, he has a lot of spin rate, and if he makes these changes, then there's something that, you know what I mean? So that's
no, I absolutely agree. Yeah. Like,
it's just
like,
interesting to see the
Mets. Take a dude with tools, like Seymour, or take someone who dominated, but don't take someone who did neither, like Scott.
Yeah.
Perfect example of a guy that, you know, solid spin rate and peripheral kind of stuff, but didn't dominate at all in college, who is, I don't want to say dominating now in the major leagues, but he's holding his own, is Tyler McGill.
Yeah, but that's the type of stuff that you get the next Tyler McGill, mm-hmm. because you don't look at the stat line, because sometimes there's more to it than that.
Yep.
And that's the same thing about scouting in like the minors in general. Like Carlos Cortez hitting 400, that doesn't mean he's a top three prospect in the system, you know? Like, there's still problems there.
400?
No, he's hitting, like, something crazy, though.
290, 280.
I was afraid you were being serious.
Oh, no, no, I'm being
I was worried.
What if Carlos Cortez does break Ted Williams' record, though?
He did almost hit 400 in Australia.
Ah, yes. Very high level of competition.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. In a stingy run environment.
In the seventh round, the 202nd pick overall, the Mets selected Kevin Kendall, a shortstop out of UCLA, second guy they took out of UCLA. And
the UCLA shortstop we all expected.
Yeah. 4-1 out. So basically, he hits for an okay average, and he gets on base, and he's speedy.
He was unranked on a lot of boards.
This screams saving money, but.
Yep.
Also, like, if you're gonna do that, then you might as well take the guy who could play, like, good defense at three spots, because then that'll keep him around. You know?
But this is very Mangum to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just gonna say.
It's Mangum who plays second base and shortstop, too, alongside center field. Cause he did all three at UCLA.
And, so. Like, unlike the first base, unlike Schwartz, like, okay, maybe this guy, Kendall's offensive upside is probably, at best, utility guy, but he can play the utility positions.
Mm-hmm. So, like, if he's in 2-3 years from now, he's, like, an okay, weak singles hitter who could play plus the defense at a few spots, then you could use that, you know? Like, Luis Guillorme isn't a star because of his offense, but he could play plus defense at second and third, and could probably play shortstop.
Those dudes get jobs in AAA for a decade.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Wilfredo Tovar is still chugging along.
Wilfredo Tovar played on the Mets this year.
Yep. All right, so now in the eighth round, the 202nd pick overall, the Mets selected Mike Vassell, a right-handed pitcher out of the University of Virginia. Solid pitcher. Fastball sits, you know, low to mid-90s. He can touch the upper 90s. He's got a curveball, got a slider. They both, you know, occasionally flash being average or better. Good spin rates to them. And strike thrower. Kind of a solid, you know, nothing is gonna jump out at you as being amazing, but the sum of all of his parts are, you know, it's a pretty decent pitcher.
Yes.
Yeah, I like this pick a bit. I think there's a few things you could do with him. Like, I'm currently watching one of his starts against Texas, and there's some things to like here. The curveball is, you know, will good. Look pretty.
Yeah.
He's thrown a couple very good changeups. The slider tends to stay a little too flat, but he's also snapped off a few good ones. So, I don't know. I like this pick.
And he was a much higher, more highly regarded, potentially coming out of high school, and then got hurt and chose to go to college. So. I feel like with a lot of these pitching picks, it has to be done in concert with, like, your developmental team, because they're going to have ideas about what they can and can't change about dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So very difficult for us to have any strong takes on most of the pitchers taken.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm glad that the new plan seems to be high spin rate guys, because that's not the king and be all and end all, and there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it, but that's nice. I'd rather that than this guy is 6'8". So let's draft him, which is what the Mets seemed to do before, and that's just.
Yeah, I mean, they had all the tall boys.
It's just outdated. Like, some of them worked like Syndergaard, but a lot of them, and that wasn't even their pick, they traded for him. But
you
I mean, they.
A lot really, of Chris Vials.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, that's the person who I think of. Like, when I think of, like, the bad tall guys who all they are is tall, like, that's the name. And it's not his fault. Like, I'm sorry to say it.
It's not his fault he was, you know, 6'50" or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like, like, Sandy saw that and was like, that's a power pitcher. And, like, just, that's not true anymore.
It turns out it's really hard to pitch when you're that tall.
Yeah, it's actually worse.
It's crazy to me that they kept doing that while rostering Chris Young for a year. Like, there's an example of this directly in front of you. It's not only height isn't power.
Yeah, but I'm glad to see they seem to have moved away from that now and have gone in a more analytical direction. And it's not like every team does this now, so they're not reinventing the wheel, but there's a higher chance that one of these guys pops because of his spin rates than anything else that they've drafted before.
At the same time.
I'm looking at all the pitchers that they took here. 6'6", 6'5", 6'5", 6'4", 6'4". The high school kid is the shortest.
6'2", the high school kid, yeah.
Like, they're all tall, but they're not, like, the freakishly tall guys. That
yeah, no, anything like, with, like, 6'6" is fine.
That's not, like, that's six, average athlete.
And there's other things going on, not just, hey, this guy's a, you know, giant.
No, it used to definitely look like they sorted by height.
They really did! And, like, nothing else. And it was just like, oh, well, he'll throw hard, he's tall. And it's like, buddy, like, that's not how it ends up.
Well, one guy that is kind of tall and does throw hard is their ninth round pick. He is the 262nd pick overall. He's a right-handed pitcher at Northwestern State University, Levi David. And the fastball is really good. He could touch 99 with some downhill plane because he's tall. Though usually it sits in the low to mid-90s. And he has a really, really, really good curveball, which is kind of fun. According to this stat here, the curveball had a 72% swing and miss rate.
That's insane.
And that is 5 for 98.
Wait, 72?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
5 for 98 with 80 strikeouts on that curveball. And he actually was ranked third in NCAA Division I in whiff rate. He had a 15.3 whiffs per nine. So it's the plus-plus curveball.
This is the fun shit you should be doing with these save money picks.
Yeah,
maybe the guy with the absolutely insane NCAA whiff rate. Will it translate? Probably not, but it's fun.
And if that doesn't work, he has a background as a swimming champion, so it's fine. He like swam in high school and was like.
I don't know if I've ever heard of a swimming and baseball athlete.
Yeah. To me, Jeff McNeil, you know, the baseball / golf combination was like the most weird, but I think that this definitely adds weird that.
I guess you need pretty good shoulders to swim, right? I guess it depends.
He's like tall and lanky. Right. So, like, I can see it. Yeah.
Athletic.
I wonder what his best stroke was. I don't know anything about swimming.
I don't know, but it's 50 meter freestyle.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that means.
Freestyle is a stroke, Steve.
I only know it in rap.
It's like, that's the type of, if you find a plus plus curveball and a dude who throws 99 in the ninth round, like, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, even if that's a reliever, that's probably a usable one if all that stays. You know? Like, if it's still plus-plus as he goes along. And he throws 100. That'll play. So, and if it doesn't, then that's a good swing. That's a good chance. A good type of profile to take a chance on. So I'm fine with it.
It's connecting all the dots with all these guys. These are players that, for the most part, it's like they do one thing better than average. Or, you know, one or two things, whatever. Just go with it, you know?
And that's smart because it's a way to, you could build around that if someone is going to develop. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone already has that plus-plus tool, whatever it is, you could build their game around that. But if someone doesn't have that, then you have to develop that tool and build everything around. You know, it like that's taking one part of the development away, and it's naturally there for them.
This guy's missing one ingredient, right? He's got a plus fastball, good curveball, really great strikeout rate, can't repeat his motion for shit. Get him in a major league program.
Yeah.
If you can make him repeat the motion, then you've got something, right? There's just like, okay, we can sprinkle in a little bit of this missing ingredient.
Yeah.
For sure. You need someone with the main ingredients first, though.
He also has a 4.0 GPA, so not bad.
All right, I'm here for it, yes.
All right, and the last selection that they made today, and the most mysterious, is the 10th round pick, the 292nd pick overall, a left-handed pitcher out of Clemson University, Keyshawn Askew. And he has some really funky delivery. Almost Chris Sale-like, but the stuff is not Chris Sale-like.
So I'm a little torn on this. I think 3-4 years ago I would have been all for taking the dude with the funky lefty delivery because it's interesting and it's different. But now in the era of no loogies, I don't.
That's fair.
No, yeah. I don't know that it makes as much sense anymore. Granted, this is a 10th round pick where they're trying to save money, so.
And also, it's a pretty good, like, it's an okay slider. Like, the slider's missed bat, so. Like, who knows?
Aaron Loop, $3.5 million, so.
And I mean, Aaron Loop has been maybe their most consistently reliable reliever.
That's a striking sentence.
Like, he's been really good, so. If that's what it ends up being, then that's a usable major league player in the 10th round. Of course, you never want to get comped to Aaron Loop, but, like.
Though, you might want to now.
Yeah, I mean, now, like, what's it, below 2 ERA or something?
He's like, got 1.56,
yeah,
right?
He's balling. Unironically good, Aaron Loop. But
face, Aaron Loop.
Almost a 6-1 strikeout to walk rate. How have I missed that Aaron Loop has been this good? I feel like I've never seen him pitch this year.
And he's gone like multiple innings a few times too. Like he went 3 innings in an outing once. Like it's been pretty good stuff from Aaron Loop.
It's like one of those weird quirks of a season where you just keep missing guys somehow.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But yeah, like. I guess I see the vision with like a slider that's missed bats some in college, and also it's kind of sidearmy, but that's about it really right now. But of course that could change.
Make him scrap the slider. He had learned this.
Yeah. Throw a knuckleball.
That would be the old Nets.
Could you throw a sidearm knuckleball? Probably not, right?
Most knuckleballs are kind of sidearm.
They're kind of like,
Not from that low an arm slide.
No.
But it's easier to do the lower you go.
And you could, I guess, but it wouldn't be effective because
I wonder how you're putting.
Like in softball, like one of the ways to throw a changeup is essentially a knuckleball, and all it does is just drop. It's like a splitter.
Yeah, pretty much drop. Because I played a dude who threw like a legit knuckleball softball pitch. I was like, what is? What?
when you say softball, are you saying like underhand pitch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like fast pitch softball.
Mm-hmm. And the thing just kind of dies, like goes down. Like it's different than a baseball knuckleball.
But softball's good. Like how can you hit rising pitches? That stuff's insane.
I don't get it. I've been saying for years it's harder than hitting a baseball.
The part
that's underrated too is the ball's so much wider than the bat.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to barrel.
Yeah, that's
I never considered that.
I used to umpire
the thin pad, like,
crazy.
Creates too much top spin or too much backspin. It's really hard to get it square in the center of the ball.
Yeah, like if you could barrel one, because you have to hit it perfect. Because if you get it off, like Ken was saying.
It'll just spin and go up forever.
Mm-hmm. So it's probably a little easier to make contact, but you make worse contact.
And there's like softball players who like their entire job is to like slap singles because they're like really good bats and ball stuff, but it doesn't matter what type of contact they make and they almost have like an Ichiro like swing where they're like running out of the box. It's wild. Watching softball is actually really, cool. Like to see how different it is, even though it's the skeleton of the same sport as Pete Alonso just destroys baseballs.
Pete Alonso's going full heel here. I love it.
He already won and he's still going.
Hell yeah.
Point being, I'm not sure how well this dude's gonna work out, but again, 10th round pick, whatever.
And also, like, it's way more interesting than the 10th round pick who throws normal and has the same numbers, you know? Like, if you line them all up and this is all you have, then take the guy with the funky delivery, if that makes sense.
Yep, that makes sense.
Cause that's where you're at this point, really, in the 10th round. You're not really, when you get 10th round picks who are major league players, it's cause you develop them or they found out something else in the major league side of things. Like, you're not getting college performers here, they're gone.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the last exciting 10th round pick.
Wasn't Lugo a 10th round pick?
Steven Belines.
No, Lugo was like 40.
Oh, he was that long?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he went to a weird school.
Steven Belines was selected in the 10th round in 2017.
Steven Belines.
Who was it?
Lugo was 34th.
Gene Cohn, 2016. What about 2018?
Steven Belines still carving up double A.
He's gonna carve up double A forever and never get a call up.
It's not fair.
Come on, he's on the freaking Rangers. They can call him up.
Oh, he has an under 2 ERA.
Well, anyway, so let's just circle back to the beginning here again. So we've had basically 24 hours for everything to digest. Have your opinions changed in any way regarding selecting Kumar Rocker?
I might be more Rocker-pilled than I was before.
Hell yeah.
If I'm, like, because I've watched some stuff of his, and it's just like, damn, people really took other pitchers over that. Like, I understand the velo concerns and they dipped and it dipped and stuff, but he dominated with that. It didn't matter. And like, sure, they need to fix that. And that's, of all the things that you need to fix, like he already has a plus plus slider and other average pitches, like you could figure out a fastball and then you're good. And if not, then he still has a starter profile, you know?
Honestly, the biggest thing that probably needs to fix with him is the spoony bugger spin that he does.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Pangai is a clown. Continues to be a clown. Did will always Rich, be a clown.
Did you
Pangai,
see
Rich, not a friend of the pod.
All
Wedgie
super
guy.
Mad.
Wedgie guy.
Wedgie guy. Rich got him all super mad.
Pressed.
But yeah, it's just I don't know. Rocker is going to be a top three guy in the system next year for me when we do our top 25.
Are you joining me on the number two train?
I don't think so. I think because Baby's been too good and already affiliated ball, and Rocker's not going to play a lot this year just from the workload and everything else. It's just hard for me to put him two over someone who's performed like Baby has right so far, but there's always for improvement. There's always room for growth, Steve, in my 25 list.
Very true. It's a lot of changes between now and then. All right, so yeah, overall, not a crazy exciting night, but we basically knew that already.
Honestly, though, like they're idea of what to look for underslot guys and cheaper guys is way more interesting to me now than it was 3 years ago. Like,
agreed.
They're not just picking random names out of a hat.
They're not like picking the SEC hit king performer who's only going to hit singles, you know? Like,
hey.
He's the mayor of Brooklyn, goddammit.
And he's hit more home runs this year than he ever did in college, so. It's room for improvement. He's finally on the roids. But like, it's just way more interesting now. Like these dudes could actually be players because of they have data behind it that suggests that there's something more there than they would have drafted like 3 years ago. So that's exciting going into a future, like next year, and if something like this with Rocker doesn't happen and they have a relatively normal first round pick where it's just where they're supposed to pick, especially if they're going to be good, because right now they're in first place. They might win the division and that's not going to be, that'll be a late first round pick. So it gives me hope for future drafts and how they look at draft picks. I think it's different now and I think that's fun. I think it's just better too for the system.
I think it's also just generally easier to find hidden value in pitching this way. Though honestly, that perception might be wrong now. Like, I think there's an argument to be made that a lot of the quote unquote pitching development success stories over the last, I don't know, half decade or so are mostly sticky stuff, but who knows?
Yeah. Also, that might swing in general. If like all the league is looking at pitching and trying to find the hidden gems there, then that's when the hitters are become the hidden gems. You zig when everyone else is zags, but. Also, they say they don't draft for need, and also they drafted 8 pitchers in 10 rounds, and the pitching sucks in the system, so yep. I don't really believe them. I think they were like, we need to replenish the arms a little bit. And
in all fairness, the hitting also sucks.
Sure, but also, like, I think it's easier to, like Lucas was saying, it's easier to find, I would rather them do this with pitching than hitting, because there's a floor of this guy's a middle reliever and that's valuable because the Mets never have those dudes who are middle relievers who make the league minimum. They always have to pay them. And that'll be nice for future years when they're spending all the money that they want to be spending. If you could, you don't have to sign 6 relievers in an off season because you already have 4 of them, you know,
but it's also a lot easier to be top heavy with hitters.
Yes. Because like Beatty and Alvarez look like extremely good prospects and they could help buoy a lineup more than like you'd still need a bunch of pitchers no matter what.
Yep, agreed. All right, so if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you can send us an email at our email address from complexqueens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Saipa. Lucas is at ElvLahus343, Ken is at KenLavin91, and Thomas is at SaidMetSeasonSZN. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from, rate and review it, and of course, thank you for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the 2021 draft. The Mets will be, all of Major League Baseball will be drafting one more day, rounds 11 through 20, so we'll see what goes on. So until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.
Thanks to T-Mobile for sponsoring this episode. Experience the T-Mobile Home Run Derby like never before with the first of its kind MLB AR app brought to you by T-Mobile. Track every single home run, analyze player performance, and get in-depth detail of every moment of the action, all in the app. You can even bring a 3D model of Coors Field right into your living room. Download the MLB AR app today from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. T-Mobile account with 5G device required for some features. MLB marks used with permission.